Yes, that was Albert Eiler live on the Riviera. You heard on WKCR. We are within our last hour of Albert Eiler birthday broadcast. You heard Albert Eiler on the tenor sax, Alan Blairman on the drums, Marian Maria on vocal and soprano saxophone, plays on that recording, and Steve Tintwise on double bass, who is in the studio with us right now, as well as Jeff Lederer. Thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you, Mert. Nice to be back at KCR again.
You've come here several times. You mentioned earlier, as back as 1972, I think.
Or actually 1970, when they had the original memorial for Albert Eiler, which lasted several days. I was up here then as well. But over the years, many times, a musician's show, some live broadcasts with my band, and it's always been a lot of fun.
Great.
And I'd like to certainly thank Jeff for inviting me. It's a real pleasure, and it's great to hear his great compositions and arrangements for some of Albert's tunes. I really enjoy that.
Thank you very much, Steve. And so as somebody who's been long-time Albert Eiler fan, and some would say obsessed with him, but a lover of his music, it's a real thrill for me to be in studio with such a great musician who you just heard play the bass so beautifully with Albert Eiler. So thrilled to have you here, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And happy birthday to Albert Eiler, 80 years old today, and you're looking good, Albert, and you're sounding good, brother. Woo! Right on. Could I ask you a little bit about the music that we just
sure.
heard? You know what? I think without going too much into it, we were just chatting, and you are a musician who's from New York area and grew up in Brooklyn and Queens. Yeah,
right.
Okay, great. And could you just tell us a little bit, you know, about what got you to that moment when you got a phone call that said, can you make that trip to play the concerts in the Riviera? And you'll have to illuminate me. Actually, I'm not entirely sure if you were playing music with Albert before the trip, or if it... So
well, what happened was I had met Al a few years before at a party, and so I got to know him a little bit. And then, speaking of Henry Grimes, whose bass I sat in twice, and this occasion was at Slugs. There was a jam. Burton Green had the gig there, and... I got to sit in on Henry's bass for the very last tune, and Albert sat in. Frank Smith was in the group, and that session was just like a 15-minute blowing, hard blowing session, is on the Holy Ghost box set. So that was really the only time I had played with Albert before this trip. So it was on short notice. He had Mary Parks get in touch with me about 4 or 5 days before the trip. So I had to get an emergency passport and, you know, get everything ready to do it. So that's how it happened.
Yeah, that's amazing. Jazz history, man.
No rehearsals. Yeah. I on this particular album, I wrote the liner notes and talk about how we got whisked through customs when we got to the south of France, to Nice Airport, and they had a van picking us up from the Make Foundation, because Amy Make was one of the most famous art entrepreneurs in Europe, and ran the foundation as well as a gallery in Paris. So we got the VIP treatment coming in, not so much when we left, but coming in, and we were whisked to the site, to the venue, and we barely had enough time to change and, you know, relax for about an hour before we went on. And right before we did this was the first show at the Make Foundation, we went into the back of, we played in so a geodistic dome, and there was little woods in the back. We went behind the dome, and Albert just said, well, you start with the bow, and we'll take it from there. And that was the whole rehearsal.
That's the rehearsal for the gig. That's beautiful. Were you familiar with the recordings, and you knew some of the melodies?
I knew some of them.
Yeah.
I knew
yeah.
some of them.
Right.
You know, I listened to Albert's music, but I wasn't, you know, a real scholar of it. And some of the newer tunes that he did, which were from his Impulse period, I wasn't as familiar with those.
Yeah. Actually, one of the aspects of these that concert performance that I really like, I love hearing his earlier repertoire interact with the later repertoire. So you guys are playing tunes from the ESP years, and you're playing tunes from the Impulse years, and they kind of join together. In my mind, it's like a beautiful marriage of it, because you have the various periods of his writing represented. Just quickly, you had mentioned me a moment ago. Of course, Cal Cobbs was on the gig.
Yeah.
And we have Cal Cobbs represented. This was a 2-day concert affair separated by 1 day off. And Cal Cobbs is represented on the second day. But yes. but Cal Cobbs is not represented in the first night where we just heard that music.
No.
What happened with Cal Cobbs?
we were at JFK Airport, and we had a little bit of time, and he wandered off and kind of wound up. Yeah. Sitting in a bar, because my parents and my sister had come with me to drop me off at the airport, and they made announcements, we couldn't get hold of them, so we had to leave. But I later found out that when my parents and my sister went to leave, my sister said, "Isn't that the piano player sitting at the bar there?" I said, leaving the airport.
Well, that's amazing.
So that's
amazing.
What happened.
Yeah, and so... So he did later arrive in the south of France, and he is represented on the second night of the concert. So
yes, very much so.
Yeah, and some of the other participants in that group it includes Albert's partner, Mary Maria Parks, and at this point, this is me just being curious and excited to ask questions about things that have been in my mind for a while. So
shoot.
Mary Maria Parks has fascinated me because I very much enjoy her songwriting. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular recollections about Albert and Mary Maria Parks and how they worked together? How that was evolving? And were they writing songs together, or was she the primary lyricist on some of those tunes?
Well, I never really saw the process of how they wrote the music. I mean, I could tell... from some pieces that, Music is the Healing Force of the Universe, that Albert kind of invented the fills and all the figures in there, but I think it's probably Mary's lyrics. I know a lot of the other tunes they did were at least her lyrics, but she probably wrote some of the music too. But she was the business manager, so she took care of all the business arrangements that were made for this tour.
Ah.
And, we actually wound up doing, after the Make Foundation, one more concert, which has a few recordings that survive that are also on the Holy Ghost box set in the little village where we were staying. It was kind of like a tourist resort. And that's where we were staying. And after this, the May Foundation concerts, and they were highly successful. It was in the, it made the news and the French TV regular newscasts that this big concert had happened.
Yeah.
And it was at the same time as there was a festival in Nice that I think Archie Shepp was at, and some of the other, top... freeform jazz artists at the time, and a whole bunch of fans, they insisted, the place wanted us to play a little concert kind of for their guests, and so we did it, but the fans wanted to come in, and they didn't want to let the fans in.
Wow.
And so we insisted, we said, well, if we're going to do it, you have to let everyone in. So we did that a day later after the second concert at the Make Foundation.
Yeah.
And so that was also a very interesting experience.
Yeah. And speaking of fans, one of the cool things about this recording of the Make Foundation is you certainly hear the fans, and they're quite vocal in their love of Albert's music.
It changes it so much, I think.
It does change the sound of the recording, Yeah.
And we were just talking about the fake ending on the ghosts, and how the clapping begins and then he starts playing again, and it's just I just wanted to ask you that, you were not prepared for him.
No,
to,
that was spontaneous. Was kind of I think, it's Albert just, he decided to do it. I don't know if he thought about it at all. He was a pretty spontaneous guy. And the one thing that I will say I heard Albert play in many times in many situations, in live and in recordings. And one thing that I think is kind of a given is whatever situation he was in, he dominated the situation. You know, the group, the sound, Newark Eye and Ear Control with, you know, it's all these powerful musicians, and yet Albert sounds, you know, like, you know, the foghorn cutting through the...
Yeah, just cuts through. Yeah.
And so he just, you know, you went with him. It was the power of his force of his personality and the trajectory of the tunes and, you know, just the strength of his playing. And he was also very theatrical in his performance style. Just a natural with that, as well as being a very well-schooled musician.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a wonderful short video interview of Archie Shepp talking about Albert Eiler's sound and just, you know, how that was how that struck him the first time he heard it. It's a great, you know, great thing that you can watch Shep talking about that, which is pretty
cool. I remember talking to Thomas Buckner. And when we're talking about Albert, he just went, his sound, like repeatedly.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful thing. So the Mate Foundation concerts have the 2 days. It was interesting. You said, who was the artist that played in between the two nights that Albert played? Terry Riley.
Yeah, he had a setup with like two or three multi tape recorder setups, reel to reels. He used to like play one, and then the playback head of that one would feed into the recording head of the second machine.
Wow!
And the same thing with the third machine. So he was getting like this delay loop. And that's how we did it in the
old
days. No, you know, you didn't have an electric foot pedal or anything to do that.
Do you know if Albert dug Terry's music, or did you guys not hear? You probably were relaxing the night.
Well, I was there, you know.
You were there, yeah.
We didn't really talk too much about it. I mean, Albert enjoyed a lot of kinds of music.
And, yeah, sure.
So, you know, it was that whole season, that season and the season before, the concert series that they presented was, you know, really outstanding.
Yeah, great. I want to ask you one thing, Steve. Mention one thing, and then we'll go to some music. Maybe we'll do some music and then talk some more.
All right. We're just going to go 2 days later than what we heard. This is the July 27 recording.
Yes.
Yeah, Cole Cobbs is here. And we're going to hear Universal Message. This is Albert Eiler, Make Foundation Live Series, July 27, 1970 at St. Paul de Vence, France.
Yeah, and this was towards the end of the concert. It was a long concert, and I'd say less than half of the music we played that night actually, you know, has been released. So this is towards the end, about three or four pieces before we concluded the concert.
All right, so we're going to hear that Universal Message once again. Steve Tintwise, who we're talking with right now, is on bass, and you're hearing that on WKCR, Albert Eiler. Enjoy.